Hey, there's a verse in Matthew 5, 14 through 16. It says, "You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father." It was about a year and a half ago, and maybe some of you were there or remember, but we had a thing called a soap prayer night. Not that soap means anything. It's just getting in the presence of God and staying there. Towards the end of that time of praying for a couple hours, there were three different people that had kind of a vision of this church and of its future. And it has to do with this verse we just read right here. We were praying for the direction of Damascus Road and for its need of its own building. And then Steve, I think, Laura, and Helene, if I remember right, all kind of got the same word for the church. They said, we're to be a city on a hill, a light on a hill. And, you know, we've just been praying, okay, Lord, we need a build. Well, as you can see, we're running out of space. And we need more room for children. We need separate rooms, actually, for children as well. And so we were praying about, God, would you provide for us something? And everyone chimed in. It's a city on a hill. God sees us as a city on a hill, a light that everyone can see. And we got to thinking, okay, hill, hill. Then you think geographically, right? You think, hill, got to find a building on a hill. Well, okay, maybe. Maybe it's a place of influence, a spiritual influence, right? It could be a hill, a light where everyone can see it, like it said in the verse, you know, where people can't deny that there's something going on. And, it was kind of a great night because it was a vision of our church that would shine the love and presence of Jesus Christ for all to see across this city and chase away the darkness, really, that has clouded the hearts of so many people. Really, so many people have had their hearts clouded with religion, humanism, intellectualism, all the reasons not to accept the Christ because that seems so old and so antiquated and so weak to the secular mind, doesn't it? I've been there because I said those same things myself. But I just happened to have met the one that changed my mind and changed my heart, and his name is Jesus. I had an encounter with him, as it says on our roadmap over here. And even since then, I was talking with some other people like Ursula and have had new visions of this city on a hill, this light on a hill in a public location of spiritual influence. And you know what? Whenever Steve, Matt, or myself would be driving around town, we see a place, we're always going, could that be the place, the city on the hill? Could that be the place for the light of Damascus Road to shine? And we've just always held that close to our heart because we believe it was a prophetic vision of God. More than one person got it. And we believe it's something that we need to hang on to. And I hope you as a church hang on to that. You know, I remember too, actually it was your friend Laura, I just thought of that. When we started meeting here we started here in June 2010, but sometime after that, not long, your friend that moved, remember their family? Can't remember her name. Helene. So she came and she said, you know, I had a vision of this church. I'm like, I always, you know, what? She goes, yeah. She goes, we've been praying for a church like this. And I said, well, tell me more. And she said, well, you know, I had this vision. She said that there was a church right here where this building is. And at the time, there wasn't this building here. There was a ruin here of some kind, and I never saw it, so I can't tell you what it looked like. But there was some kind of building in disrepair falling down. And then in her vision, she also saw two bridges. And at the time, that bridge, the Hochbrück, the walking bridge, you know, it wasn't there. And so she said, so what's with this vision? You know, I've got this vision, but it doesn't make sense. And then Stay Okay builds. She goes, but that's not a church. That's a hostel. Then they build the walking bridge. She goes, okay, now we have two bridges, but we still don't have a church. And then we come and rent the building to have church here. And she showed up and say, that is what I saw. See how God can just prepare hearts for something he's about to do. And now, that wasn't a logical vision she had, a church and two bridges. She didn't know they're going to build another bridge. She didn't know they're going to build a building here, but it happened. So when God says, I see you as a light, a city on a hill, you can choose to believe it or you can choose not. But I choose to believe that God's in that. You know, we looked around the city. We looked at, there was a church over here, Emma Pline. I don't know if you, it's that big cathedral-looking thing. It looks like a big Hershey Kiss on top. And that's how I remember it. You look. And you see it from everywhere. And it's up on kind of a hill. And we thought, that's the place. And they came to us and said, hey, you want to rent this? And we're all like, yeah. When can? And so we went and looked at it. But then we found out very little electricity, like one cable running across the floor that goes to who know where. Someone's car engine, probably. I mean, really. A layer of dirt in there. And no heat. And no water, thus no toilets. Kind of an important feature. So we thought, and they spent $13 million to restore the building. I'm like, and no toilets? That's an expensive restore with no toilet, in my mind. So we look, you know, we thought, okay, well, that seemed like God, but maybe not. And then we saw this church, not church, it was actually a school, could be a church. Behind on the Hertog single over here. Great, that's right on the main ring, city on a hill. Well, we got there. You have to go down this long corridor through a gate behind all these houses. And in the middle of all that, there's kind of like an opening where this old school building is. Price was good, but guess what? It wasn't city on a hill, more like city behind the walls. Okay. Plus, maybe too small, maybe. So, okay. Forget that. Then we heard about this church on the Fatima Plain, and went over and saw that. Oh, big, 1,000 people. Got to think big. If you're American, you think big, right? Got to think big. 1,000 people, is that big enough? I don't know. Okay, so 1,000 people. And they said, oh, okay, we're going to check with the diocese, whichever way you want to pronounce it, to see if they'll rent to you. Well, they come back. Can't rent it. Can't buy it either. Door closed. Boom. Kind of. For now. And they, okay, Lord, when is this meant for? You know, this city on a hill. You know, all those things kind of ticked the right boxes. But I tell you this because you need to pray and not give up. You need to pray and believe what Elena saw when she was here came to pass. Could this come to pass? Yes. You need to pray and believe for that God has a greater thing that he can do here in Maastricht. You know, if you would have been here in the beginning, one little room, we had 35 to 50 people max. You know, last week there were 140 plus kids. I don't know about this week. Looks about the same. You know, it's like, God wants to do greater things. People are getting saved, born again, accepting Christ, in other words, into their hearts almost every week here. We had 7 baptized here maybe 3 weeks ago. We not here. That'd be a little rude. But in a swimming pool, we baptized 7 people that had made a profession of Christ and wanted to be water baptized, which, by the way, everyone needs to do. It's the Lord's command. You know, today we dedicated 5 families and children, and it just seems like God is doing something. Over 80 nations have come here over the history of the church, but maybe 2,000 people have come through the doors. Fantastic. Can God do more? Of course. God wants everyone to know him. It's obvious. And so we need to hang on to the vision. You know, and the cool thing is, this church is entering a new season. In the summer, things kind of go down. And right now, it's like, okay, people are showing back up to the church, you know. Every week, there are so many new faces here, I can't even remember. you know, I look across, I got to talk to them after the service. But, you know, it's impossible because there's so many people. Not because I'm so charismatic, which I'm not, but I want to make people feel welcome. I want people to know that Christ loves them. And this is a place they can know him and know other people that are following the same Savior. The way Holy Spirit is moving on hearts, he's doing something fantastic here. You know, can you believe God for more than 140? Can you? Why not? Why not rent the Greent over here, the Heineken Music Hall? I mean, all these things are possible. Nothing's too hard for God. He wants to touch every person in this city. The cool thing is, you're a part of eternal history here. And that's what keeps us going when we get up on Sunday mornings or during the week, coming here and doing things through the church and around the city, is just knowing that this is part of eternal history. This isn't just part of a thing that, okay, we did that for a while. No, this is a part of eternal history. Because when we know Jesus, our lives are wrapped for eternity. It's a bigger thing than just coming and sitting in a chair. It's about being part of a family, a community that's going somewhere with God and that God can use as individuals and as a whole, as a church. You know, when we started this, we had no idea what to expect. You know, we'd been youth pastors for 19 years, a worship leader, we just handed over a 24/7 youth student, whatever, discipleship ministry called Master's Commission Amsterdam North in Amsterdam. We just got through doing all that. And then, you know, we realized we'd never started a church before or even been in a place of senior leadership. So we knew our shortcomings. And by the way, even some of the higher ups and the people we worked with said, oh, you're not qualified. You know, you don't have what it takes to do this. And I'm like, really? You know, okay. I mean, what's that mean? You know, are you saying God doesn't know what he's doing? You're saying God can't use us like he can use you? You know? And, you know, it's that kind of thing where they say, well, you're just a youth guy and a musician. You don't have the ability to plant a church. But God had told us to come to Maastricht, and we knew what God does, he anoints to do. He gives the ability to do. When I say that, it's not about us, it's about you. What God asks you to do, he gives you the ability to do. If God is calling you to do something, don't have second guesses. Do it. God won't make a mistake. And God won't let you looking like a fool. God wants to complete whatever he starts. But the Holy Spirit came before us, and he's the one that made a way. We were even told by locals, I remember, how hard it was going to be to reach people here for Jesus. You know, or, oh, well, this is a Catholic city, you know, or something like that. And I'm like, okay. Like, people here can't accept Christ? I think when we baptize 7 people, when we see people receiving Christ almost every week, that was a lie. Satan loves to lie. And Satan will give every opportunity, give you the opportunity to say no to the things God's already told you to do. Every time. Because he doesn't want to see you succeed, and he doesn't want to see God's kingdom succeed. And if he can get you not to succeed, it stops a little bit of what God wants to do. You know, Satan, he always roams around like a lion, seeking whom he may devour, the Bible says. But it's all noise. It's all false accusation. It's all lies. He's an imposter, because we know who the real Lion of Judah is, and that's Jesus. So when you hear a voice that says something like, you can't do that. Who appointed you? Who do you think that you are? You're not capable to do that for God. I mean, look at your problems. God could never use you. Anyone ever hear something like that? Or come on, just take it easy. Sit back and let others do those things. You're not called. They are. That's a good one. Pass the buck. They're all so much better than you, and you will only just fail if you try. You can know that if you hear that kind of voice, that's not the voice of God. Number one, because he's the one that loves you and called you with a heavenly calling. Matter of fact, Romans 8:31 says, if God is for us, who can be against us? Here's what God says about Damascus Road and you personally. By the way, it's the power verse for next week. If you're new here, we have a verse generally every week that we memorize for the week before. Why? You get the word in you. It transforms your mind. It transforms how you see things. It changes you. Do you have it? Okay. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. That's a good one to remember about yourself when things aren't going quite the way you planned. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good, not for your disaster, and to give you a future and a hope. Have you ever really considered God wants you to succeed? How many believe that? You believe that? Okay. God wants you to prosper. He wants you to succeed. Does that mean you're going to get rich and drive a brand new Mercedes or Lamborghini or whatever? No. Maybe. Probably not. Success is not in what you have. Success is in who you are, what God is doing through your life, and how you can influence others for the same good. That's what real success is. God has good plans for his children to succeed. You know what? As long as this church continues to preach salvation in the name of Jesus, continues to call sin what it is, sin, continues to live in a God-honoring way before the city and loves the lost, ministering to the needs of the people of this city, not just the saved but the unsaved, God will prosper this church. You can just watch him. Leslie and I both have confidence, Matt, Christine, Steve, Julie, that those things are going to happen. And the servant leaders. You know, city on a hill is a phrase that we saw in the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus said, you're the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. But in 1600s, a little bit of history, there was a group called the Puritans. I don't know if that rings a bell. If you're from the U.S., this is part of U.S. history, you know, with pilgrims and all that kind of stuff going on. And the Puritans had a leader named John Winthrop. And these were a group of European immigrants. Me, I'm mostly German, a little Dutch, I guess. I mean, mix it up, you know, throw it in the oven, whatever. Leslie is Welsh and Dutch Jewish, and from her grandma's from Den Haag. And I don't know, you know, it's all a mixture of stuff. But it's because of guys like John Winthrop that came from Europe, because they wanted to start this colony. They wanted to actually start a whole new lifestyle of living a community in Christ in the new world. That's why they did it. It wasn't just because, yeah, they were funded by financiers that were interested in making money, but these people saw it as a ticket to come and start something new where they could live a godly lifestyle that maybe wasn't happening where they were. So, this 1630 sermon, he wrote this above aboard the ship Arabella, and he told the future colonists that this city, this new place, was going to be a city on a hill. And here's the way he wrote it. It's kind of in the Old English in a way. It says, for this end, we must be knit together in this work. As one man, we must entertain each other in brotherly affection. We must be willing to abridge ourselves of our superfluities for the supply of others' necessities. And that means that there will be equal wealth and no one living in luxury while another person starving. We must uphold a familiar commerce together in all meekness, gentleness, patience, and liberality. We must delight in each other, make others' conditions our own, rejoice together, mourn together, labor and suffer together, always having before our eyes our commission and community in the work. Our community as members of the same body, As members of the same body, so shall we keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. The Lord will be our God and delight to dwell among us as his own people and will command a blessing upon us. Just like Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, he talks about mercy. He focuses on kindness and sharing. Everyone doing something. How they can be better, the things that can be better for the whole. And he pointed out that they wouldn't succeed at doing this by by running the sinner into the ground to try to win them to Jesus, but rather by loving one another and caring for each other, putting up with each other's needs and supplying each other as they have need. And that would create a natural sort of faith community based upon the love of Jesus Christ in this new colony. It was more about less cause and more of an effect. In other words, because we love God so much, this is the effect of our life on one another. Then he finished it by saying, so that we shall see much more of his wisdom, power, goodness, and truth than formerly we have been acquainted with. And you know, even though John Winthrop was writing about his new colony in the U.S., he really could have been talking about Damascus Road, a city on a hill. Could have been just the same. We're a newer church in the city, but with an ancient history of churches that have stood for 100 years across this city. If we believe in the prophetic words that were heard in that dark, rainy night in that prayer time at the old church office of St. Peter Strat 6th in the Valsa Church, the old Reformed church, if we believe that it was inspired by God for us as a church, then we know that he's called us to live as lights every day and in every way by love for one another and in the promises of God's word. You know, I was talking to John Lespois the other day, and you know, we're seeing people saved, come to Christ here. But he was telling me how he's been getting up every morning saying, Lord, give me someone that I can talk to today. And it's in 1 week, you've had, what, three people? Three people. Now, is that because he's such a great guy? Well, he is a nice guy. But it's because he said, Lord, can I be of use? And people come across his path. I don't know. I don't know if you have, how many have ever had that happen? That people just open up and you can just tell, I've got to share right now. God has just opened the door, boom, to the barn. I mean, it's big. Now, if I don't go through it, you know, and you got to take the step. Just think about it. If everyone at Damascus Road would commit to say, I'm going to share with one person about Jesus Christ. I mean, you just commit to do that. This place could double in 1 week. And if those people did the same, quadruple, and you can imagine how that can go on and on. It's all because we believe that we have something more valuable than what the world has to give that's eternal and life-giving, life-changing. You know, when I think of that, in 2 Peter 3:9, one of the verses I always like says, that he is patient with us. He's not wanting that anyone should perish, but all would come to have eternal life. That's God's heart. You know, and I would say that after our own relationship with Jesus, reaching the lost needs to be job number one. For the Son of Man came to seek and save that which is lost. Heard me say that, but I can't get that out of my head. The Son of Man came to seek and save that which is lost. Okay, Lord, what do you want me to do? Same thing. It's pretty simple. I'm going to call Leslie up front. I know she wanted me to call her up later, but that's the way it goes. Because I've already asked her. You going to come up? Yeah. And I don't know if you know Leslie, if you've had the pleasure of knowing her, but she's a wonderful woman. If you have not taken, she's quiet. It's probably a good thing. Balance, you think? Actually, I'm not as loud as I may appear, or am I? I don't know. But you never see yourself for who you really are, do you? But, you know, she's quiet. But, man, I tell you, behind the scenes, she's like, I let her read this, and she goes, what do you mean? Why don't you say it this way? And I go, oh, yeah, that's much better. Thank you. You know, but that, because she's really gifted at words, right? Some people are really gifted at words, But I just thank the Lord for the gift she's been to me in the ministry. And some of you see her, you go, oh, she's just his wife. Well, there's more to it than that. Still water runs deep, you know. She's the deep part. I'm the surface part. So if you didn't get a chance to know her, you missed out on something. Yeah, you're over my notes.
Can I sit down?
Can you sit down? No. Why would you want to sit down?
I
But the point is to this church has not been built on one person. I've had some people come and say, "You're leaving. What are we going to do?" Well, what's God going to do? I mean, you know, come on. This church is much bigger than a person. This was God's idea. He birthed it. We didn't. We were just, okay, you know. We just went along with it. And God chose to bless it, to touch lives, of which Leslie's been a part of, Matt and Christine and Steve and Julie and before that Sarah, and there's been many others that have been involved. So we just kind of were willing to come test the waters here. And it's a product of all of us, and there have been many people helping along the way because it's a team effort. From the beginning in our home until this moment, it seems like many people have caught the vision for Damascus Road. It's just amazing the way it grew to our front room 25. Some of you heard the story. Some of you have not to hear, and you can see today. A lot of those people are no longer here. It's kind of the nature of Damascus Road, it seems, you know. It's too bad, but it's a blessing because people go all across the world with this gospel. We have a chance to be a part of their lives for a while, and they go out and do it wherever God sends them. Fantastic. It may keep us from being a church of 2,000, but I'd rather have a church of 2,000 all around the world than a church of 2,000 in one city. And so there's so many people that have helped since the beginning. And some of you might still be here today. If you've ever done anything, you know, like setting up chairs. Some of you come in at 11 or 11:15. Some of you come in, you should be here by 11. Should be here at 10:30 out in the spray. But you come in and you think, oh, okay, it's ready. But you don't know that this started at like 9 a.m., and stuff has to be brought in, brought up, carried, picked up, moved around, forgotten, go back, get it. You know, you've got all this stuff going on. You've got people doing these things. So why? Because they want you to encounter the presence of the living God. Because they believe in what God's doing in Maastricht and what God can do in your life as well. So if you've ever set up chairs, maybe helped with the Connect groups, you've been in setup, tear down, greeters, childcare, media, sound, events, cleaning, in any way, even if just once. I want you to stand just across there. I want people to see you. Would you stand? Don't be bashful. It's a pretty broad covering, you know. Okay, any others? Yeah, it doesn't matter even if you're just getting back, like Christina. She's helped in the... Any Keisha others? Well, what about you, Keisha?
Keisha.
Keisha. Make her mad, yeah. Okay. Well, we just want to applaud you guys because amen. Thank you. Because you guys have made a difference in this church and you made a difference in our lives because you jumped in, you served in some way. By the way, if you haven't helped at the Master's Road, jump in and serve. You're missing a blessing. There's always something you can do. Always. You can help in some way. You know, and to the hard part of the service, we're going to miss you guys dearly because you're our family. We've got to know many of you. Some of you we just met today and maybe haven't met. But we would like to have gotten to know you, but many of you, you're our family. And we just want you to know that, you know, this is our home. We don't have a home in the U.S. anymore, actually. We don't know who we are, what planet we're from. You can call us something, I make up a name. But we're part of your life. And we just really, you know, we're going to miss you. As we drive around the U.S., I don't want to explain it because it takes too long, but we're missionaries. Use that. As we're driving around the U.S., we're speaking in churches, meeting with mission committees, mission pastors, senior pastors. Why? Because we want to convince them what God is doing here in Europe and how God is using church plants to capture the hearts of so many people, to touch lives, and to set them free from bondage, actually, and bringing them into that marvelous light, which is Christ. Isaiah 61, you know, we read it earlier about the year of the sovereign Lord. And as we're driving around on Sundays, we're going to be thinking, our hearts are going to be here. You know what I mean? Our hearts are going to be with you, even though we have to do that. I should say we get to do that. Although driving all that much isn't all that much fun sometimes. But the reason we do it is because we believe in what God is doing in your lives and in other people's lives. Not just Damascus Road, but around this world in the Netherlands. And that's why we do it. Hopefully we'll get to come back. When I say that, back to Europe, we're not sure what that means. Actually, it's all up in the air. Bing. It's kind of a step of faith. It's kind of like, and I told Matt, you know, this church is kind of like our child in a way. You know, we dedicated them earlier, but we kind of feel like this is our child in kind of a strange way. And it's hard to leave, but it's also one of those things. I remember when we drove our daughters away to university, and you're driving away, and of course, the women always recognize it first. That's my baby. I'm not going to, from now on, our lives are going to be different, aren't they? And then, you know, that starts to happen. But then you realize that's true. But you got to release to see them grow into what God has for them. And so today, even though it's kind of a sad day for us, it's also a happy day. Does that make sense? It's kind of a joyful time, and it's also a miserable time. Because we hate to leave because of our connection. But we also know that what God's going to do is greater. And that's what's exciting, huh? To release, to give away, to release is a joy. And to know what God can do in your life is fantastic. Will you pray for us? Because we're not sure yet. We don't even have a place to live, actually. So we have a car, though. I guess that'll work for a while. But that's not that desperate. God's always provided for us. And you know what? He always will. As long as we stay in His will, that's just for any of us. God will provide if we're just obedient. And that's all we're trying to do is be obedient. And hopefully be able to come back to Europe. We're not sure what that means yet. We have some options. But we just said, God, what? It doesn't matter how big or little it is. Just use us. That's all. Just use us. Yeah. Do you want to share down here? Okay. Okay, because she has some things. And you forgot to thank the worship team, so when they come up in a couple minutes, you need to. Yeah. Go ahead and get them up. Yeah. Would the worship team, are you going to be able to? I know it's got to. If the worship team would just come up real quick. And just for these guys, too, I just want to tell, I didn't tell them the other day, and I probably should have at rehearsal. You don't understand that these guys, we send out music to them. They have to listen to it, send out all the YouTube links and all that stuff. They have to study it on at home, hopefully print it out, hopefully. And then on Thursday nights, we practice for a couple hours at a studio, and then they have to show up here early on Sunday mornings, and then they have to, you know, on and on and on. So there's a lot of commitment, and they do it because they want to see the presence of God here. Then they want you to enter in, because they know, like Levites in the Bible, they would usher in the presence of the Lord. And worship is about ushering in the presence of God. And so how important is that? It's super important to me that that happens. So I just want to tell all you guys, thank you. It's been a pleasure being able to worship with you and play with you guys, for you allowing me to play with you, I should say. Yeah, let the old guy play guitar, you know. You know, okay, you know, throw the dog a bone, you know, whatever. But they've been wonderful. And we've had other people play as well, Bernard and the sound people like Patrick and Selena and Sunny on the media. I mean, these are all people who spend a lot of time and effort so that God can minister to us in a better way. So thank you, folks. And, yeah. And one last thing. In Philippians 1:11, it's probably going to be on the screen, but we changed it a little bit. These are Paul's words to the Philippian church that he started. So I can kind of we can kind of relate. And Leslie and I changed the words just a bit. So it goes like this. I think you have it the normal way. Yeah. Kent and Leslie, servants of Christ Jesus, to all God's holy people in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together, or at DRIC, together with the pastors and servant leaders. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank our God every time we remember you, and all our prayers for all of you, we always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for us to feel this way about you all, since we have you in our hearts. And whether we are in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with us. God can testify how we long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is our prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and the depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. Love that passage. But that's our hearts to you, because we know what God wants to do.
Well, Ken's going to get ready to play a last song. I believe that he wants to say his final farewell to all of you with a worship song called Make Way for the King. And again, I talked earlier about one of our prayer nights where we got the vision of the city on the hill. On another prayer night, when we were worshiping the Lord to a recording of Make Way for the King, and Cedric said, that's our song.
Yeah.
So the worship team had to learn it. And so Kent's going to leave you with worship, and I'm going to leave you with just a few words, and that is, the grass withers, flowers fade, people come and go, but the word of God stands forever. Be kind to all that you meet, for you don't know where they've been. Welcome them at your tables. Tell them your stories of faith. Carry them when they fall, and love, love, love. Those actions alone with prayer are what will grow Damascus Road and change a city. And then many of you know about Corrie ten Boom, the woman from Harlem who hid the Jews in World War II. And I love her quotes in her writings. And her, I found this. And she said at one time, this is what the past is for. Every experience God gives us, every person he puts in our lives is the perfect preparation for the future that only he can see. And each one of you have been the perfect preparation for a future that we don't know exactly what it's going to be, but God knows. And we love and miss you so much. We'll miss you so much. And thank you for your friendship and your support.
And maybe you want to stand with us. That's making way for the King.
His robe was dipped in blood, spilled for the souls of men. For the one who says there is no God, let him come, let him come. And behold the Lord, he gives the weak and the poor the key to heaven's door. Someday when he returns, he will dry every tear from every eye. So make way for the King in all of his glory. Make way for the King. He hands high and lifted up. Oh, make way. Make way for the King. Make way. Make way for the King. His hands and feet were scarred. And the light of His great love will shine, and the dark of the night will become the day. So make way for the King in all of His glory. Make way for the King. Spilled for the souls of men. For the one who says there is no God, let him come, let him come and behold the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you that you have come. You've sent the King of Kings, Lord Jesus. And Father, our prayer for this church is that it would go on worshiping you, glorifying you, standing on your word and your name. Father, I pray a blessing. Leslie and I both pray a blessing over this church, over its leadership, over every person that enters these doors. Because God, a little bit of us is going to be with them every day. Thank you, Father, for the richness we have of being a part of so many people's lives. We are blessed indeed. But, Father, we pray that you would continue to use every person, that they would find their calling and realize their destination and realize the empowerment comes from you. All things are possible in you. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name.